This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han, with the top business stories of the day. We begin with a story coming from Maybank. Maybank is preparing to spin off and list its insurance unit, Etica. Etica provides life and general insurance and reported revenue of some 6.2 billion ringgit last year. So that's quite considerable.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch this segment to see basically what's the valuation like, what's the listing going to be, and the structure of it. Part of a Reuters story on this is saying that as part of the transaction, Maybank's investors are expected to receive shares in the insurance company in proportion to their existing holding in the bank, and no new money is expected to be raised in that listing. This is what sources told Reuters.
Yeah, and look, the reason this is exciting is because we're talking about Etica. These guys occupy the top position in Malaysia's general insurance and general takaful segments, okay? Almost 12% market share as of March this year. You know? So this is a very sizable player, a very significant player, rather, here in the Malaysian insurance space. If they list, will investors be excited about it?
So the question, of course, when we talk about any story with regard to listing, is the timing of the listing, right? The time is so essential to whether there'll be a buy-in to the stock. Right?
Yeah, you can see a couple of banks, they're selling their insurance assets, and this is seen related to this financial standard MFRS 9 that is based on the expected loss model. So basically what they're saying is that they have to provide in anticipation of future potential losses. Also, there's this whole capital requirements that banks have to adhere to, that's taking a toll on them as well. And if they have insurance business, they have to provide more capital as well. So maybe by hiving off the insurance business, unlocking the value in that, in other words, this current asset that the bank has is still undervalued. And if they list it, they might extract better value from that listing. So why not?
Yeah, so a couple of things, right? You could unlock value here with the listing of Etica at the same time, you know, at least according to some of these reports that we're getting since MFRS 9 came into effect this year, but they'll talk about it. So whether or not hiving off these insurance units could put these banks on a better footing when it comes to being in compliance with MFRS 9. Sharad, real quick, going back to what you made, the point you made about timing. Yeah, timing, right? So great point. Because if you look at how the listed insurance players here in Malaysia have fared so far this year, it's been pretty dismal. I'm talking MAA Group, I'm talking Tomb Protect, I'm talking Syarikat Takaful, Allianz, and also Manulife. Their share prices year to date have declined by double digits, except for Syarikat Takaful, but still down 9.3% so far this year. If Etica lists, could they buck the trend?
Okay, but the question is, what is it that Etica and the folks at Maybank see that these numbers are not telling? The numbers that you've just trotted out, Han, tell one story, right? A story that the picture's rather grim. And yet they say they want to list. Why?
Yeah, but it could be timing of, they have to look at the valuations. How much are they going to get for the asset? Another thing could be also, as we were talking about capital requirements and all these requirements that are on financial institutions, perhaps if they segregate out their insurance business and their banking business, the capital requirements could be less on the actual entity. You know, so there are a lot of things that could potentially be reasons to why they're looking at listing Etica. Now, I remember also working on a story on foreign insurers last year, how they have to pare down their shareholding in insurance companies in Malaysia. And one of the paths that they're looking at is to list that business here, although no more news on that. I mean, now we have to follow that because they have a deadline up to June, end of June, to work on that shareholding structure that they have here in Malaysia. Bank Negara has put that in place. So yeah, definitely, that could be an issue as well.
Yeah, well, so that's for foreign-owned insurance players here in Malaysia. Etica is domestically owned, right? So yeah, you might have this push, you know, from the industry standpoint in terms of compliance with MFRS 9. But if also you look internally, right, and you go beyond Maybank, go further up, you look at PNB. Tan Sri Wahid, since taking the helm of Permodalan Nasional Berhad, he has pushed through this whole unlocking of value, right? This term that we so often just spit out here on the morning run. So you have seen that with PNB's move with, say, the Siam Darby Group, right? A listing of the plantations and properties unit. Also, they tried spinning off UMW Oil and Gas, although that didn't quite work out as planned. But, you know, it kind of makes sense, right? The idea that there's so much value locked up inside some of these investee companies that you can spin them off, list them, and, you know, unlock value.
I guess one of the other issues that we come to often when we talk about insurance is that the market has so much room to grow that a lot of Malaysians are either not insured or underinsured, and that is probably going to be playing on the minds of people in the sector.
Yeah, because, you know, like we mentioned, Etika already has, what, almost 12% market share. Now, on top of that, if you look at, say, the life insurance coverage rate, it's about 55%, right, of adults. And that actually includes some double coverage because I think in reality it's closer to 30-ish percent or so.
Yeah, interestingly, they have more than 70% market share in the online insurance segment. Mm. So they are quite, it's definitely a big business.
Okay, we'll move from Malaysia to the subcontinent. In India, the government of Narendra Modi is planning to push an initiative that would give more insurance cover, medical insurance cover to its citizens. That also will provide a boost to the medical or the health industry over there. Now, this framework, you know, is the background to a story that China's Fosun Group is the fourth suitor for India's troubled healthcare giant Fortis.
It's interesting how a number of suitors are coming on stream for Fortis, given that it has quite a checkered past, and as well as we're still waiting for their financial reports to come on. I mean, it's been delayed. And would you want to buy a business if you don't know whether or not the financial reports are available? They're still waiting for that. So, yeah, we're still definitely the space to watch.
Okay, so this is a bride that comes to, that's waiting in the wings, as it were. You know, she might have been around the block a few times, but apparently she's got a lot of gold bangles. I mean, if you want to take the subcontinental, metaphor further, you know, she comes with a lot of wealth. She's got assets on her, right? And that's why there's such a big competition. I mean, there seemed to be a lot of excitement about Fortis, the fourth suitor. We have the Malaysian group of IH. H also interested in Fortis.
All right, perhaps moving away from a gender-based metaphor, or one that may be not so politically correct. But how about this? Okay, so you got Fortis that's bleeding. Okay, they are cash-strapped. They've got legacy issues. They're swimming in the ocean. They're bleeding. And initially, there was one shark and a two shark. Now there are four sharks circling around Fortis trying to gobble it up.
I don't know if it's fair to call these guys sharks. IHH are awesome. Because, I mean, they're legitimate. They're going to be...
They're looking for a good deal
right? Yeah. And, you know...
A good meal.
Yeah. And if the parents of Fortis say, you know, mummy and daddy say, yes, you're a good suitor, then why not?
Well, guess what? But mummy and daddy got Fortis into trouble to begin with. Mummy and daddy being the Singh brothers. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. And, of course, that was the subject of a Bloomberg Gadfly article titled, Fortis Needs a Quiet Bed to Forget the Sings. Well, you know, but they're not singing the blues just quite yet, right?
Well, I mean, despite these legacy issues, despite what the Singh brothers, Mavinder and Shivinder Singh, did to Fortis, there appears to be plenty of potential. Keeping in mind, we are talking about Fortis. These guys are the second largest hospital chain in India.
Yeah, but Fortis has the worst EBITDA margins of major Indian hospital operators. So looking at from an earnings perspective, not exactly that great. But if someone can come in and turn it around, synergies and all that, yeah, the potential is there.
Okay, let's move over back to our shores and to the story. CVC Capital Partners is close to an agreement to buy Malaysian snack food maker Munchie Group. This is according to people with knowledge of the matter.
Yeah, CVC's got the Munchies. Okay, these are the snack food maker. They do the 7-day...
No, they don't have the Munchies yet.
Oh, yeah. But they got the cravings, right?
They do have the cravings for Munchies.
Got it. Okay, thanks a lot.
For Munchie. Munchie.
No, it's with an S. Anyways, okay. Well, anyways, look, so these are the guys who do those 7-day croissants, the Lexus biscuits, and Joyce, your favorite, what, the music biscuits?
Yeah, with a Z.
With a Z, all right, because that makes it so much better. So this deal, according to this Bloomberg story, could value a Munchie at 1.1 billion ringgit, and they've got a pretty good market share here. They've got 14% of the share of Malaysia's sweet biscuits as of last year.
And they're marketed in more than 50 countries. So actually, the spread is quite wide. It's not just in Malaysia.
And with any good South Asian or Indian movie, there must be a subplot. The subplot has to do with a group, a SPAC or a special purpose acquisition company called Red Senna. So they're looking wistfully from the sidelines thinking, oh, are they going to miss this opportunity?
Yeah. Well, they've got the craving for the munchies as well. It depends
another
on...
Another suitor.
Yeah, another suitor. Another shark or another... potential husband, whatever metaphor you want to use. Okay, look, so I think the broader question here is, if this deal with Munchie and CVC actually go through, where does that leave Red Senna? Because earlier this month, right, Joyce, we had the story that Red Senna was actually looking to make Munchie its qualifying asset.
Yeah, and they have to get that done by this year, right, if I'm not mistaken. And Red Senna raised 400 million ringgit in a 2015 IPO, and their management team was seen as a who's who in consumer industry experience. You know, we have Tan Sri Richard Koh, Dato' Tan Ann Meng, he's the FNN's former CEO.
Right. And also, you know, this poses questions about the SPAC scene here in Malaysia, SPAC being special purpose acquisition companies, right? Because you've had four oil and gas SPACs already, it's been 50-50. Again, two of them got their qualifying assets, although since then they haven't really done so well. The other two, they didn't make it. They had to pay out their final payments, you know, and then close shop. So now 50-50, two got their QAs, two didn't. Could Red Senna tip the balance either way?
And also, can I ask a question? Will this make the whole SPAC model call into question the SPAC model, where people say, well, you know, this is the history and you know, and the batting average, perhaps not something I want to get into.
Yeah, you know, because if you look at the history of the SPAC model, if I recall correctly, you know, it didn't really work in the States. You know, it had its time in the States, had its time in Korea, didn't work so well there as well. Here we are, 50-50. We'll see how Red Senna fares.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We have Keith Kam poised at the mic, and he'll be giving you the news, and then we'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.